Welcome to episode 358 of the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I'm Ashley Scott Myers, screenwriter and blogger at sellingyourscreenplay.com. Today, I'm interviewing Sean C. Stevens, who just did a low-budget sci-fi thriller called Expulsion. We talked through that film and how he got to the point in his career writing and directing a feature film. So stay tuned for that interview. If you find this episode valuable, please help me out by giving me a review in iTunes or leaving a comment on YouTube or retweeting the podcast on Twitter or liking or sharing it on Facebook. These social media shares really do help spread word about the podcast, so they're very much appreciated. Any websites or links that I mention in the podcast can be found on my blog in the show notes. I also publish a transcript with every episode in case you'd rather read the show or look at something later on. You can find all the podcast show notes at www.sellingyourscreenplay.com/podcast, and then just look for episode number 358. If you want my free guide, How to Sell a Screenplay in 5 weeks, you can pick that up by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. It's completely free. You just put in your email address and I'll send you a new lesson once per week for 5 weeks, along with a bunch of bonus lessons. I teach the whole process of how to sell your screenplay in that guide. I'll teach you how to write a professional logline and query letter and how to find agents, managers, and producers who are looking for material. Really is everything you need to know to sell your screenplay. Again, just go to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. Quick few words about what I'm working on. I'm still working on The Rideshare Killer, the mystery thriller feature that we shot last December. We're still in post-production on that. Now that we're at Locked Picture, I'm starting to look at the various different things that these post-production people are sending in. This week, I got to look at the score for probably the first 10 minutes. Our composer has put that in place and rendered that out. It's really fun to see everything come together. A lot of the scenes really don't work, especially with a mystery thriller like this. A lot of the scenes really don't work until you get that music in place. It just really adds that element of sort of excitement and drama. So it's really cool finally seeing it all come together. As mentioned last week, I've got everything now to the colors and the sound guy, so we're really starting to wrap this thing up. I've also been putting together an online screenwriting class. I'm basically going to set it up so that people can work at their own pace, but it'll walk you through the entire process of writing a screenplay. And it starts out with the forming of the concept, coming up with a marketable concept, outlining, index carding, writing the first act, second act, third act, and then all the way through a polished second draft. I'm hoping to launch this in early in the new year. So keep an eye out for that. I'll be making some announcements for that. But that's one of the things I've really been concentrating on, is trying to polish up that. So those are the main things I've been working on this week. Now let's get into the main segment. Today I am interviewing writer-director Sean C. Stevens. Here is the interview. Welcome, Sean, to the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I really appreciate you coming on the show with me today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So to start out, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up and how did you get interested in the entertainment business?
Yeah, I actually grew up, at least through my latter years here, or schooling out here in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. And I immediately fell in love with filmmaking, probably through Star Wars, like so many other filmmakers, right? Mm-hmm. From my generation. But I actually attended film theory classes at ASU, Arizona State University, but I did all my hands-on work at various community colleges around the valley. So I did some student films. And actually, really our big jump was we did a film way back in the late 90s. It was one of the first digital features known as The Hands of a Madman. It was very low budget. It was probably when all the other filmmakers were in our class were doing shorts, we decided to do an actual 90-minute feature. We did that first and kind of fell in love with that. And my business partner, Paul Tamborello, and I have been sort of in the business ever since. I relocated to Michigan for several years to capitalize on their film incentive program. And actually, I did three larger movies through that, one of them through the Michigan program, one in Indiana, and then another one back here in Phoenix. Those were Rumors of Wars with Eric Roberts, Little Savages with Jamie Kennedy and a lot of the Disney kids. Lee Allen Baker was also in that one. And then we did Griddle House out here in Phoenix, and I helped produce that. So I did a lot of producing there in the early 2010s, and then decided to sort of venture out into doing our own thing again. So Expulsion sort of marks our first feature there. We have another one called Werewolf World on the way soon after. And then where we go from there, we'll see.
So, a couple of things I just want to talk about in all of that, unpacking all of what you just said. Number one, I get a lot of emails from people outside of the Los Angeles area. I'm in Los Angeles, and they're always posing that question: do you have to move to LA to be a screenwriter? Sounds like in your case, more of a filmmaker, but maybe you can talk to that a little bit. What's your opinion of that, and why haven't you taken that leap to move to Los Angeles? Do you feel like it's something that you will eventually do? Do you feel like it's something you need to do?
Yeah, that's a really good, great question. And kind of just to back up a little bit, with the screenwriting piece, I've always been a fascinated about writing. I wrote that first movie I talked about. I also wrote a movie called Suspended, back in 2013, 2012. And my writing partner and I actually sold that one off. So I definitely have some experience in selling. And then we wrote Expulsion and decided to keep that one sort of in-house. But to answer your question more directly in terms of moving to LA, when I wrote and sold Suspended, that was done in Michigan, back when I lived in Michigan. So I think the way the world sort of works today, as long as you've got some resources to travel, or if you're located close to one of the major markets, because there are festivals and things that you should attend to network, if nothing else, I don't think that you necessarily have to be in LA. One of the things that I found, my partner Paul Tombreau actually was in LA for several years and still maintains a residence there in addition to his other location. But the money that he's able to save not living there, he can use to easily travel to a lot of more events, if that makes sense, just because of the cost of living and everything. So I would say that it doesn't hurt to live in New York or LA, certainly, because having a quick lunch or something with somebody is much easier, obviously. But if you're not there or you're not able to live there, I would definitely put together some resources so that you can travel pretty easily if needed. Certainly under normal circumstances, pre and post-COVID, obviously.
So I'm curious too about the incentives you're talking about in Michigan. My own career has been mostly in Los Angeles. I've shot feature films in Los Angeles, and so I sort of know what that looks like. And from someone in Los Angeles making films, we have this great access to this huge talent pool. There's tons of actors, tons of crew. So that's sort of the advantage. The downside here in LA is when you show up at a restaurant and say, "We want to film here," they want $5,000 a day because they're used to that sort of production. So, and everybody's very jaded. So you're not going to get, there's no real cool factor left. It's you got this access thing. So, but what does it look like? I mean, when I've started to do the math on low budget films, at least, and I'm talking like less than 250,000, let's say, sort of the range that I'm looking at, it does. I like Oklahoma is one that we're hearing about now. They have big incentives to shoot in Oklahoma. But when you do the math on the lower budget, it starts to become iffy, because you have to bring crew and you have to bring stuff. When you were in Michigan, were you able to find local crew, local cast? Did you have to fly people in? And how do those incentives actually work? What do they actually do for you, ultimately?
That's a great question. So, we were in Michigan, actually. We did end up flying in a lot of cast, certainly. But there's a bigger tax write-off, up to back in those days, up to 30% in Michigan. Their tax incentive program has since gone away, but there's similar programs in, Mississippi, Georgia, pretty much, I'd say probably 20, 25 states, especially Puerto Rico, if you ever if you ever have a screenplay that fits that market. But they always give you a bigger return on local talent. So you still get a little bit of a return. So to kind of put it in perspective, you can write off 30% of your expenses that are spent in the state. And in Michigan at the time, they had the film incentive program going for several years. So there were good, grip trucks and good crew that were located there. That being said, we did fly in the DP, the production designer, the higher end, or I don't want to say higher end because they're all important, but some of those more, talented or more curated type.
Experience. Yeah, you just need a little more experience.
Exactly. So, and then the non-localized talent or the non-localized expenses, those could fall in anywhere from 3 to 12%, depending upon what the resource was. And then there's also always a kicker if you use a post house located in that, to do all your editing and help with all the visual effects and everything, which we didn't do on Rumors, but ultimately we still got quite a nice chunk back on that. That we were able to dump into marketing. So, that did work out well for us.
Yeah. So perfect. Well, good. I think that's a great explanation. So let's dig into your latest film, Expulsion. Maybe to start out, you can give us a quick logline or pitch. What is this film all about?
Yeah. So Expulsion is about, I've always been interested in the fringe sciences. So the screenplay I mentioned earlier, Suspended, is about cryonics. So I actually went and interviewed some of the out here in Phoenix. There's a company called Alcor that actually really in real life freezes people to hopefully bring them back someday in the future. So the types of fringe sciences that are sort of real, but not, you know, not, we're not quite there yet. That's the kind of stuff I love. So with Expulsion, I really became a fan of particle collisions. So you've probably heard of the LHC in Europe that collides particles. Sure. So we said, what if a couple scientists that were working on something similar for a large corporation decided to scale that down and build a faster, more powerful accelerator in their garage? What would happen? What happens is they actually stumble upon a parallel universe where the main character, Scott, played by the great Colton Tapp, actually finds another version of himself. So Colton was able to actually play both roles. Lo and behold, as the story progresses, you basically uncover that that the other Scott, we call him the other Scott because depending on one's perspective, he may be evil, he may not be. So we're not going to call him evil Scott, but other Scott has other agenda. He has another agenda. He has another thing that he wants to achieve. And you start to sort of figure that out with the original Scott as the story progresses. And then all in the background, you've got the corporation they work for sort of figuring out what they're doing, and they have their own agenda as well, and they're trying to get a hold of his technology and exploit it for their own benefit. So, yeah. And there's quite a few twists and turns. Whenever I write screenplays, one of the biggest things that you can do, I think, is create aha moments. I call them aha moments. That's where you plant a seed earlier in the screenplay, and then you have that revelation or that aha moment later on down the road. And the closer that you can get those aha moments to come together and culminate, it creates a climax that is more and more powerful. So we always try to do that. And then my writing partner, Aaron Jackson, who also wrote the screenplay, is really good with dialogue. So I'll typically punch up a first or second draft. He'll go back in and polish the dialogue. And I think we work really well in tandem that way. We also worked on the Suspended one that we sold earlier in 2014 as well. So,
gotcha. So where did this story and idea come from? You mentioned that you just have an interest in this stuff. Was there some particular thing? And I'm kind of curious too, not just the creative, but was there some business or was there some business decisions? One thing that I get from producers when I go into these meetings, hey, what's a great script? What's a great indie film that you would like to see? And Primer is always one that's mentioned as sort of the quintessential super low budget sci-fi thriller. It can travel, you know, things. And when I watched your trailer, that's what I thought of, sort of the low tech garage, the way you had the guys sort of dressed. There was definitely sort of some homage to that, whether intended or not. And I'm curious, was that some of your influence or was that some of your idea leaning into some of the business stuff? Did you do any research in this? Did you talk to distributors to know that there would be a market for this?
Great question. So let me sort of unpack a lot of that. So the answer is I'll get to the distribution piece in a moment. But in terms of inspiration, I actually had seen Primer, but I'll be honest with you, it wasn't really. I didn't set out to make a movie similar to that. I've heard that a couple of times when we've gone through our PR, and it's funny because that really isn't where where the inspiration came from. I think I saw it back when it first came out. I'm always going to see experimental films and art film. I love that stuff. But to be honest, it really came from, believe it or not, there was some inspiration from THX-1138. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's George Lucas's first experimental film. Mm-hmm. And really,
yeah, sure.
More just a stylistic piece of that not so much the story beats. In terms of my interest in particle collision and particle science, I actually saw a documentary about the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider. And that really is what I'm like, well, wow, the possibilities of potentially colliding particles and ripping open a hole to another dimension. And there's actually real science. The movie starts out with a quote from the late Stephen Hawking about how he feels that we're not, after a career of saying that we're just one single universe, how his later findings, his last published paper, he actually says we're not down to a single unique universe. So it has a lot to do with the dark matter out there, and all the holes that we see in our own universe could actually be bubbles of other parallel universes bumping up, where different, you know, not to get too technical, but different levels of gravity and things that we can't control actually change what happens in those other universes. So the movie explores that and probably, I think, does a pretty good job of explaining it. But from a business aspect, I will say that we've gone through the distribution, you know, system many, many times with larger budget films, over $1 million budget. So when I say large, I'm not talking about the $100 million blockbusters. For me, a large budget is $1 to $3 million. So,
Yeah, sure.
And we've learned that by the time you get, you know, the film out there, when you're going through a sales agent and you're going through eventually a distribution company who then is again going to sell the film to whether it be foreign distributors or to a domestic distributor, you're ultimately getting into a situation where you're not going to get, it's going to be very difficult to get a return unless you've got a paranormal activity on your hands or something that's just going to completely, you know, turn the industry on its head. It's really what we decided to do is actually develop a company ourselves, leverage our contacts, partner with the PR firm up front early, develop relationships with Apple, develop relationships with Vudu and Amazon, and get our film on that platform ourselves, and then leverage some marketing assistance. And ultimately, you know, it remains to be seen how this will work out. But if this does work out, we're looking to eventually package that through Colossal Content for other filmmakers. So for a very low fee, they keep 100% of the revenues, and then we go ahead and help them get it on different platforms and even provide marketing, which a lot of the film aggregators, I can't think of one actually, that'll aggregate your film and help you market it both. And marketing is so important. It's all about relationships. It's all about, you know, getting back to people, being diligent. So we're hoping that we're creating something a little different here that will help other filmmakers with low budget aspirations in the future, and screenwriters for that matter as well. So.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit, you talked a little bit about your collaboration with Aaron Jackson. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit more. So just in terms of, I mean, I have a lot of writers that listen to this. They have different relationships with their collaborators. How does yours work? When you guys are starting out, do you just spitball ideas? Do you do index cards? Are you in same rooms, separate rooms? Are there some tools you're using, Google Docs? Or maybe you can talk just a little bit of sort of about that actual physical process of writing, collaborating.
Sure. Yeah. We actually typically, what'll happen is we'll start off with a sort of a treatment. So we'll write, you know, a one page, you know, really short, just basic treatment. And then once we sort of agree on the basic, you know, story, then we'll go back and do a larger treatment. And we'll go back and forth giving feedback. And fortunately for us, we're so much on the same page that there's not a ton of compromising. Aaron is a little bit more more hard-nosed, or he likes a little more controversial type stuff, which is great because that's one of my opportunity areas. So to have him kind of come in and punch that up really works very well. And a lot of times we'll just do that through a Word document and send it back and forth. And then when we settle on that, we'll then jump in and do an outline, and then we'll do a final draft to actually write the first draft of the screenplay, which I'm sure, as you know, and your listeners know, you can then send back and forth and make changes and track those changes and go back and forth. So, you know, the dynamic there, I think, is, you know, you don't necessarily need to be in the same room. For our first screenplay together, we weren't. But I will say that now that we're in the same city, we do make it a point to get together and talk about, you know, there is something to be said for reading people's expressions and their body language and knowing and sort of playing off of that and knowing what questions to ask to dig deeper. I think we definitely leverage all those tools. We're probably a little more low tech in that we do it through a Word document first and then just leverage the tracking capabilities of Final Draft. But we usually end up around 10 to 13 drafts before we get one that we feel like we could actually start having people read. And then we'll take feedback from others and then incorporate that feedback into our next draft. And sometimes even during production, things change a little bit based on cast, based on some of the actors' ideas and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm, sure. How long do you guys spend in the outlining process, but basically before you open up Final Draft and start writing scenes and dialogue and action and stuff? How much of your time is spent in the preparation stage?
I would say probably just a month or two. I mean, not, you know, not it's, as long as we're working diligently and talking every day, we usually can iron out a very solid story and get agreement and come to collaborative, you know, realize the efforts of our collaboration typically within just a month or two.
And then how long, and then once you get on to final draft, how long does it take you guys to push through those 10 or 12 drafts that you're talking about?
Yeah, we probably, and when I say 10 or 12 drafts, let me clarify that sometimes the changes are only, you know, 10% of what we wrote before, you know what I mean? So I'm not talking
rewrites.
But yeah, no, I would say with Expulsion, we probably have that first final draft ready to send for feedback to people after about 3-4 months. And then we get feedback about 6 months from beginning to end to actually get the draft that we were able to start sending out to have people read for and start putting the pre-production stuff together.
Sure. And so what does that development process look like? Who are these people you send out to get feedback? Do you have some actors, producers, directors, other writers? What does that look like? And then maybe even you can speak to a little bit about taking those notes when they give you a note that you don't agree with. How do you handle that? But first question is, who are these people that are giving you feedback? And then how do you handle feedback?
Yeah, that's great. So I'm a really big fan of feedback. You know, I learned very early in my career, my day job, that feedback is really the way to become better. there's a couple different types of personalities out there. One of those is feedback is they're very defensive and not willing to open up on that. And that's not going to get you anywhere. So I would say if your listeners learn one thing off of this, that I can provide any kind of nugget, that's be open to feedback, you know, especially if you're giving this to multiple people and hearing sort of the same thing from multiple people that aren't communicating with each other. So we will send it to everybody from actors that are friends or people that we've worked with, all the way up to other screenwriters. The gentleman that wrote the screenplay for Rumors, for example, is one person that I sent this to get feedback, and even producers, you know, to kind of look at, hey, what do you think the budget is on this, and get some of their advice. But it's all about leveraging those contacts. Don't put too much behind the title or what somebody else has done, because there's so many talented artists out there that you know them. If you know them well enough, you know if their ideas are fresh. You know if they know what they're talking about. And listen to those folks. And especially to my earlier point, take those notes and certainly insist upon them giving you at least 4 or 5 bullet points about the script, even if they're, you know, not specifically drilled down to a certain page. But take those notes and compare them and see, hey, this is a common theme. People aren't understanding what I'm trying to do here. Let me see if there's a way to reword that. People feel like, another example, that there's too much exposition maybe in this particular scene. Let me see if I can streamline that a little bit. There's not enough lighthearted moments. You know, let me see if I can add those. Even broad, you know, strokes like that certainly help. And then probably one of the hardest things I think probably everybody deals with is when you send this off, you've got to play the law of numbers a little bit. So, you know, people are busy. Not everybody that you send it to is going to read it. And unfortunately, the worst thing that you can do is get someone to get pressured and want to pretend like they read it and give you feedback and they've only read your treatment or your synopsis. So be patient with them. Send it to a lot of people. You know, certainly copyright it first. That doesn't hurt. Doesn't cost a lot of money to do that. But send it to people. Get their feedback and send it to a lot of people. Because if you send it to, you know, 20 people, you may get 5 that actually reply. Well, 5 is a good number to go off of. You know, to identify trends and really identify things that may not be working. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So good advice. Okay. So once you had this script and you felt like you were ready to go into pre-production, what were those next steps? How did you guys go about raising the money for this?
Right. Great question. All of our other films before this one, we had raised the money. We had investors. We actually created a film fund. But this one specifically, we actually, having put away some of the, you know, funds that we've, you know, money that we've made off of other projects, which it really isn't very much, to be honest. A lot of this really came from my own personal, from my pocket. I've been fortunate enough to be very successful in my day job, and I was able to really put a lot away to sort of help with this. That really is, and also creative contracts. You know, a lot of times when you're doing a low budget movie, you don't have a lot of money to get the actors. You know, and we had to fly a couple in for this one. The lead, Colton Tapp, and then. Right, the Friday the 13th Scream Queen alum Lar Park Lincoln is in this. We had to fly them in But it's really when they fall in love with the screenplay, when they're at, you know, that higher level of success in terms of acting, it's much much easier to get them to believe in you and believe in your project, and do things for sort of back end profit sharing. Because again, that's not something that's popular to attract a lot of people typically. But if it's a good story and they believe in it, then they certainly will. And then obviously there's a little bit of an upfront cost you have to pay them as well. People have to get, sure. But that you supplement that with sort of the back end points. And the reason we were able to get that to work, I think my point is that they really believed in the screenplay and they read the story for what it was. We took some of their feedback and implemented that as well. Nothing major, just some dialogue things. And we were able to really secure enough talent to get this done. And then obviously we had some breaks. We had a really talented sound engineer come in that was really, really excited about the project as well. And we had him jump in as well. And he brought some of his own equipment, which really helped out. So, it's all about relationships. It's all about being honest with people, not trying to seem like you're doing a bigger production than what you are. But it did take a lot of savings. I'll be honest with you, Ashley. I probably dumped in, probably saved, not knowing what project I was going to do. I started saving back in 2014, and was able to save up enough money to actually shoot this in 2017, 2018, and then go through the post. The most expensive part, was the visual effects. We had to hire a visual effects artist to come in and do probably 70% of the visual effects in the film that we couldn't do ourselves. And that was definitely the most expensive piece, I would say.
Gotcha. And you mentioned your day job. What is your day job and how has that helped you with your film career?
Yeah. So my day job is I actually work for a financial company in the quality department. So, I helped me, when I started doing some producing to really learn about, regulations, state regulations and guidelines and how important those are. They're not the same industry, but the fact that there's guidelines and different government entities that you have to bring in to the loop sometimes for things like tax incentives, that really helped out a lot. But I'm a quality manager for a financial company.
Gotcha. What advice would you have for writers that are seeking to break in? Do you think this is the right strategy, writing and then producing something yourself? Do you think entering contests, doing stuff like the Blacklist? What is sort of your approach if you get a screenwriter saying, hey, what should I do?
That's great. So what I would say, again, that first piece is get that first draft ironed out, get feedback from multiple people. Try to look at that feedback, keep an open mind, adjust and tweak your screenplay based on that. And then once you have that polished product, once you have that draft that you feel is ironclad, that's when I would say there is value in entering screenplay contests. There is value in some of the screenplay festivals out there. And I would say what really helped us, if I look back on how we were able to sell Suspended, what really helped us is that before we sold it, we actually had some funding from investors that was, coming through that ultimately didn't kind of sort of fell apart, which is why we sold it. But we were able to get some reads from some Hollywood actors and their agents, and they were interested in it because of the story. So that really helped us a lot. But I would say if you don't have access to that, definitely just working on a film set, working with and getting to know people, get to know those producers, because what you want to happen, the first stone you have to sort of turn over is getting somebody to read your screenplay, somebody that has the power to potentially greenlight it. So if you are working on a set as a PA for no other reason than to get in good with build a relationship with the producers, that's very beneficial, as much or more so than even entering the screenplay contest and getting recognition that way, because there's so many out there, as you know, that a lot of folks don't explore, just those relationships at the producing level, which really, really can help get your stuff read and possibly get it greenlit.
Yeah, sure. What have you seen? I just like to wrap up the interviews by asking the guest what they've seen recently, Hulu, Netflix. Is there anything that stands out over the last couple months that you think might be really good for screenwriters to check out?
In terms of platforms?
I'm taking just in terms of specific projects. Anything you've seen on HBO, on Hulu, just over the last few months?
I've
just a personal recommendation.
I would say probably There's a Danny Trejo documentary that I watched. I know that's not really necessarily, but that one's good. I think it's called Inmate Number Something. That was really good. And then also there's a movie out that I think did a limited theatrical called Alone. It's about a girl who travels cross country, and there's a guy that sort of stalks her, sort of like in a duel type way at first, and then she's kidnapped and brought back to his cabin in the woods and has to escape and survive. So it covers all these different sort of perils that she has to navigate her way through, and it's gotten great reviews. I think it's somewhere in the high 80s or low 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's called Alone, and I think that's probably one that I really like. I have no personal connection to that, so I just
No, that's a good recommendation.
really thought that was a great the way that they executed that story and added some of those aha moments that I was referencing earlier, really, really paid off.
Okay, well, perfect. That's a great recommendation. How can people see Expulsion? Do you know what the release schedule is going to be like?
Absolutely. Expulsion will be available on Tuesday, October 20th. And that it'll actually be available on Apple TV. It'll be available on Amazon. It'll be available on Google Play, and it'll be available on Vudu. So you can actually rent the movie there or purchase it. It is available on Amazon right now for Blu-ray and DVD pre-orders, and those will also be available. And then we're also doing a watch party through Film Threat on Friday, October 23rd. So a few days after the film comes out. The major cast and myself and a couple of the crew folks will be there, and we'll actually be on and watch the film with you and give some commentary if you're interested. And that will be recorded. It's 5 p.m. on through Film Threat's YouTube channel. It's at 5 p.m. on Friday, the 23rd Pacific time. However, it will be recorded, and people can go there and watch it anytime that they want.
Gotcha. That sounds fantastic. What's the best way for people to keep up with what you're doing? Twitter, Facebook, a blog, anything you're comfortable sharing, I'll round up for the show notes.
Absolutely. So you can actually keep up with, if you're looking to specifically about Expulsion, expulsionmovie.com is the best place. You can even access our Instagram feed there as well and follow us through Instagram. Personally, what you want to look for is colossal-pictures.com, and that's where my business partner and I have our sort of our film distribution company going up. And then ultimately, there will be a website launching. A much more advanced and pretty slick website for filmmakers to access if they're interested in potentially, getting on and helping get their screenplay produced or helping to get their movie out there if they finished one, even a short film. And that is going to be ColossalContent.com. So ColossalPictures.com, and then we'll have Colossal Content going up here probably by the end of November, I would say.
Gotcha. Well, Sean, I really appreciate you coming on and talking with me. Good luck with this film. Good luck with the other films. And I look forward to talking with you again when you have another film ready to go out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ashley. I appreciate it. Feel free to follow up with me on it with any questions through email. I'd be more than happy to get back to you.
Perfect. I appreciate it, Sean. You take care.
You as well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I just want to talk quickly about SYS Select. It's a service for screenwriters to help them sell their screenplays and get writing assignments. The first part of the service is the SYS Select screenplay database. Screenwriters upload their screenplays along with a logline, synopsis, and other pertinent information like budget and genre, and then producers search for and hopefully find screenplays they want to produce. Dozens of producers are in the system looking for screenplays right now. There have been a number of success stories come out of the service. You can find out about all the SYS Select successes by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/success. Also on SYS podcast episode 222, I talk with Steve Deering, who was the first official success story to come out of the SYS Select database. When you join SYS Select, you get access to the screenplay database along with all the other services that we're providing to SYS Select members. These services include the newsletter. This monthly newsletter goes out to a list of over 400 producers who are actively seeking writers and screenplays. Each SYS Select member can pitch one screenplay in this monthly newsletter. We also provide screenwriting leads. We have partnered with one of the premier paid screenwriting leads services, so I can syndicate their leads to SYS Select members. There are lots of great paid leads coming in each week from our partner. Recently, we've been getting 5 to 10 high-quality paid leads per week. These leads run the gamut. There's producers looking for a specific type of spec script to producers looking to hire a screenwriter to write up one of their ideas or properties. They're looking for shorts, features, TV, and web series pilots, all types of projects. projects. If you sign up for SYS Select, you'll get these leads emailed directly to you several times per week. Also, you get access to the SYS Select forum, where we will help you with your logline and query letter and answer any screenwriting-related questions that you might have. We also have a number of screenwriting classes that are recorded and available in the SYS Select forum. These are all the classes that I've done over the years, so you'll have access to those whenever you want once you join. The classes cover every part of writing your screenplay, from concept to outlining to the first act, second act, third act, as well as other topics like writing short films and pitching your projects in person. Once again, if this sounds like something you'd like to learn more about, please go to sellingyourscreenplayselect.com. Again, that is sellingyourscreenplayselect.com. On the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to be interviewing Zena Dura, who just did an indie romance called Luxor. She talks about that project and how it all came together for her. She's a really passionate artist and has some great advice for writers on having the careers that they want to have. So keep an eye out for that episode next week. That's our show. Thank you for listening.